From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. The humanitarian situation in Syria remains desperate, although both the nature and the causes of that desperation are completely misrepresented by both government and media here in the U.S. At a meeting of the U.N. Security Council in New York Monday, U.N. Emergency Relief Coordinator Stephen O'Brien said the ceasefire or 48-hour pause in fighting in Syria is not to be used as a negotiating tactic, but to be looked at as something needed to get aid to scores of desperate people. Deanne Penn filed this report.
The UN humanitarian chief urged countries with any influence in Syria to rapidly reach agreement on a ceasefire for the city of Aleppo and other areas in the country. Mr. O'Brien said aid trucks are ready to hit the shell-cratered roads as soon as they are given the green light. He expressed anger that what he called the callous carnage that is Syria has continued unabated for more than half a decade.
What is happening in Aleppo today and throughout Syria over the last 5 years is an outrage against every moral fiber in our being as human beings, as fellow human beings, with every Syrian caught up in this unending cataclysm. And it is the failure of politics of all of us, and you know this as members of the Security Council. So please, now is the moment, this instant, to put our differences aside and to come together as one and stop this humanitarian shame upon us all. Once and for all.
Mr. O'Brien also used the opportunity to salute aid workers, including Syrian search and rescue volunteers known as the White Helmets. Deanne Penn, United Nations.
O'Brien's report placed most of the blame for the horrors facing the people of Syria on the government, which is locked in fighting with terrorist groups such as ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and others. Syria's permanent representative to the UN, Bashar al-Jaafari, took issue with the report and the sources of information upon which it was based.
Shukran.
Thank you, Madam President. Before I begin my statement, I would like to convey to the distinguished members of the Security Council our rejection of considering us responsible for the bombing of a Qatarji neighborhood in Halab. The Russian government has also rejected that accusation. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, the perpetrator must be elsewhere. And I would like to shed light on the fact that this tragedy that took place in Al Qatarji neighborhood is directly linked to what some colleagues have mentioned regarding the child Omran, the Syrian child Omran. Syrian child and not the child Omran who came from Venus or from Mercury. That Syrian child is the same as other Syrian children, the child Reem, and scores of Syrian children who have suffered from this conflict and from this conspiracy directly or indirectly against Syria. Before I delve into the details of my statement, I would also like to recall, just to recall, a certain incident that may refresh the memory of some members of this August Council so that they can distinguish between what's true and what's not. On the 30th of April 2014, the so-called Air Force of the International Alliance destroyed a center for the deaf and mute in Al-Raqqa, causing the death of dozens of children who were deaf and mute. On the 7th of July 2016, the so-called International Alliance inaugurated the so-called liberation operation of Manbij through heavy aerial bombardment targeting the inhabitants of the city and leading to the death and injury of hundreds of men, women, and children, all civilians. On the 12th of July 2016, the fighters of the so-called International Alliance bombed the town of Zuz in Deir el-Zour, causing the death of more than 80 people, including women and children. On the 26th of July 2016, the French Air Force, a partner in the so-called International Alliance, bombed Greater Tukhan, a village in the Halab area, causing the death of more than 180 civilians, many of whom were women and children. This International Alliance, a self-proclaimed International Alliance, did not request any approval by the Syrian government to conduct air operations, and it was not invited by the Syrian government to come to our country. On the contrary, and this is a flagrant violation of the basics of this international organization, and I will turn to that once again later. Ladies and gentlemen, the victims that fall in Halab are Syrian civilians. The victims that fall in Damascus are Syrian civilians as well. And the victims that fall in Idlib and Dara, Raqqa, Deir ez-Zor, and other cities and towns are Syrian civilians. No one in the world will care more for the life of those Syrians or feel their pain more than us, the people and government of Syria. No one but us pays the heavy toll for this terrorist war that has been imposed against my country, Syria. The question that should be raised is, why are those civilians being targeted? Who is killing them? And why, in fact, is there a humanitarian crisis in my country, Syria? Before I answer this question, I would like to read to you the text of paragraph 4 of Article 2 of the Charter. And here I quote, "All members shall refrain in their international relations from the threat or use of force against the territorial integrity or political independence of any state, or in any other manner inconsistent with the purposes of the United Nations." End quote. This is the substance of paragraph of Article 2 of the Charter. Madam President, 5.5 years ago, Syria used to be one of the safest and most stable countries in the world. It was self-sufficient in terms of basic needs, such as food, medication, health, and education. Syria was one of the foremost hosts of refugees for whom we did not build camps or tents, and whose pain and suffering we did not abuse. We did not use their tears and suffering in these so-called international conferences, pledging conferences. We hosted them in our homes. We sent them to our schools and treated them in our health care centers until some of them returned to their homes and others remained in Syria. Iraqi refugees, our brothers and sisters from Iraq who left Iraq and took asylum in Syria because of the Anglo-American invasion of Iraq, as you well know. This image has dramatically changed when Arab regional and international states met on the 24th of February 2012 in Tunisia under the title Friends of the Syrian People. This friendship with the Syrian people has resulted in different methods of decapitation, the eating of human parts, the slaughter of scientists, destruction, disbursement, the plundering of factories, agricultural crops, oil, gas, monuments, and the infrastructure. And we would like on this occasion to thank those who have sent us the advances of this fatal friendship that will never be forgotten by the Syrian people. Following that, the so-called International Alliance was formed on the pretext of fighting terrorism without United Nations approval or the approval of the Syrian government. And it began to target innocent civilians and the infrastructure in Syria, such as roads and bridges and factories and schools and hospitals. The value of destruction of these attacks by the International Alliance against the gas and oil installations cost at least $2 billion. In fact, in Halab, one attack against the electrical plant has led to its total destruction, it having cost the Syrian people 1.3 billion euros. It was destroyed by those pigeons of peace, American pigeons of peace, in a single airstrike. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, the most and foremost responsible party to the suffering of the Syrian civilians are those governments that have falsely claimed that they are friends of the Syrian people. They opened their borders to tens of thousands of terrorists from all over the world. Others have recruited those mercenary terrorists either by means of money or by promising them paradise and heavenly nymphs through their jihad that has abused women in a most shameful way for the first time ever in history under the so-called banner of fornication jihad. Other countries have smuggled scores of tons of weapons to those terrorists, have established training centers for them, have recruited children for them, and have taught them how to commit the most horrible terrorist operations. Others opened their coffers, their oil and gas oils, to finance this terrorist war against Syria using billions of dollars. Others instructed the advocates of sedition to issue Wahhabi edicts that legitimize the killing of others, the plundering of their property, and the desecration of their women and religious places. Others have devoted their propaganda in an attempt to legitimize those groups by once calling them the moderate opposition, other times calling them the armed moderate opposition, until they were termed as non-state armed groups, as contained in the report of Mr. Bryan. And most recently, they have called them the vetted Syrian opposition. And perhaps this nomenclature will soon change to become groups of armed angels. Those states did not stop at supporting the terrorism against Syria. They complemented it with economic, despicable economic terrorism in terms of unilateral coercive measures that have exacerbated the suffering of the Syrians, forcing them to flee their homes for a better life. And please allow me to speak briefly on the so-called moderate opposition, and I will present to you some elements of this moderate opposition, them having been genetically altered in the laboratories of certain intelligence entities of certain countries. And those are Abu Omar al-Shishani, Abu al-Mukhdad al-Turki, Abu Musab al-Saudi, Abu Suhaib al-Libi, Abu John al-Britani, Abu Muhammad al-Tunsi, Abu Huraira al-Amiriki, Abu Muad al-Turkistani, Abu Hafsa al-Masri, أبو عبد الرحمن الكندي وأبو عبد الله الأردني وأبو طلحة الكويتي وأبو مرة الفرنسي وأبو عود البلجيكي وأبو الوليد الأسترالي. And the religious advocate of the Nusra Front, Abdullah al-Muhaisini, and he is Saudi. Those are the faces of the moderate armed opposition in Syria. Madam President, Halab remained safe and stable for more than 1.5 years after the beginning of the so-called crisis in Syria, until the governments of Turkey, Qatar, and Saudi Arabia prompted armed terrorist groups to attack the city, to desecrate its people and the property, and to take them as human shields. They have wreaked havoc. They have destroyed cultural, religious, and historical monuments. They burned Souq al-Madina, the market of the city, the longest one in the world, the longest ancient market in the world. They destroyed the Amawi mosque. They destroyed the Carlton Hotel and attempted to destroy the Halab citadel as well. These are all achievements by the moderate opposition. Whatever escaped such terrible destruction was dismantled, plundered, and transferred to Turkey in an overt theft operation that is unprecedented in history. And we have provided you with many documents to prove this dishonorable act by those gangs that are supported by the Turkish authorities. Halab, over whom some shed crocodile tears today, having been destroyed, was once inhabited by 4 million civilians. But today, there are only those neighborhoods where armed terrorist groups are active. Only 250,000 people remain in the city after they were at a certain time, more than 2 million. The terrorist forces started targeting those civilians, the 2 million. Therefore, 1.7 million of them ran away from Halab and took asylum to the areas that are under control by the Syrian government entities and institutions in different Syrian cities. They took asylum there since they find protection and assistance. Civilians do not flee to regions controlled by the terrorists, rather to regions controlled by the state, by the government, that provides 75% of all humanitarian assistance to the Syrian people. 75% is submitted by the Syrian government and not OCHA. The actions of the Syrian government today, with the support of its friends and allies in Halab, is a constitutional duty to protect the civilians from the practices of armed terrorist groups that have violated all the rules since the first day they took action. The groups allied with Al-Nusra Front, which was not involved in the hostilities originally, have showered Halab with hundreds of rockets and projectiles daily, some of them weighing more than 1 ton. and causing the death of hundreds of men, women, children, and the destruction of public and private property. In this background, and before taking any military action, His Excellency the President of the Republic issued his decision on the 15th of July 2016 to the effect of a general amnesty for all who bore arms, who were at the time outlaws or in hiding. The general command of the army and the armed forces on the 26th of July addressed several messages to civilians and armed people in the eastern neighborhoods of Halab, calling on them to join the national reconciliation and to expel the foreign mercenaries. And it has allocated for them safe humanitarian corridors and temporary residence, particularly for those who want a safe exit in a way to protect their lives and provide them with their needs. The government called upon the armed people also to lay down their arms and to settle their situation. As a matter of fact, this has enabled hundreds of families to leave the eastern neighborhoods of Halab, and the Syrian government has provided them with temporary residence and basic needs. Regrettably, other families could not leave because they were prevented from leaving by armed terrorist groups. Those groups have taken those families as human shields and have booby-trapped the roads or passages leading to the safe corridors. They have also targeted them by snipers in cities such as Raqqa, Manbij, Al-Bab, and Deir ez-Zor. Madam President, my government questions this continued and deliberate distortion of facts in the reports of the Secretariat regarding the humanitarian situation in Syria and basing them on unreliable sources. Any report by the United Nations is expected to be based on neutral and reliable sources, not so-called open sources or opposition centers that exist outside the country and are run and financed by foreign intelligence that have taken a hostile stance to the Syrian government in an attempt to distort the image of the Syrian government internationally and level false accusations against it without any tangible proof. These reports deliberately or indeliberately also cover up for the actions of armed terrorist groups through continuing to call them, as I said, as an armed opposition at times and other times as non-state armed groups, etc. Regrettably, the Secretariat has committed an unprecedented precedence in the history of the United Nations, justifying a gross terrorist crime by the movement of Nour ed-Din al-Zinki that have decapitated a Palestinian child. When the report attempted to convey legitimacy on that movement by mentioning that those responsible for the act were detained and are being investigated, it's as if that report is saying to us that the practices by such terrorist groups in recruiting and killing children is allowed and that its leaders are bound by international laws and human rights laws and that they have become a party to the International Criminal Court. Please permit me to quote from a recent book by an Australian writer called Tim Anderson. He calls it The Dirty War on Syria. The book was printed in Australia, not in Damascus, and I will read in English.
Ample use of lies and deception. The dirty war on Syria has relied on a level of mass disinformation not seen in living memory. The British-Australian journalist Philippe Knightley pointed out that war propaganda typically involves a depressingly predictable pattern of demonizing the enemy leader, then demonizing the enemy people through atrocity stories, real or imagined. In Syria, The big powers have sought to hide their hand using proxy armies while demonizing the Syrian government and army, accusing them of constant atrocities, then pretending to rescue the Syrian people from their own government. Far fewer Western people opposed the war on Syria than opposed the invasion of Iraq, because they were deceived about its true nature. انتهى الاقتباس.
End of quote. Madam President, the government of the Syrian Arab Republic reiterates its firm position that a solution to the crisis in Syria is a political solution, a Syrian dialogue, and under Syrian leadership without any external interference or preconditions. We reiterate that the political path is parallel to the path of fighting terrorism, which will continue and shall not stop until all active armed terrorist groups in Syria are eliminated. In conclusion, Madam President, I would only wish to recall that the well-known French journalist Richard Labivière issued an article in the well-known newspaper Le Monde criticizing the fabricated coverage. This article was issued a few days ago. He criticized the fabricated coverage by Le Monde of events in Syria. That well-known French journalist stated that the journalists of Le Monde get their news about Syria from that famous book, Alice in Wonderland. He addressed those responsible for Le Monde by saying the following. Dear journalists, my colleagues, journalists who were editors of Le Monde in those historical days, Hubert Paul-Marie, André Fontaine, and André Laurent, he addressed them by saying, wake up, colleagues, wake up. Something is wrong in your newspaper. The other French journalist, Georges Malbruno, and his colleague Christian Chinon, they wrote a book to which I alluded in one of my previous statements, entitled Le Chemin de Damas, The Road to Damascus. Those two known writers, those two French writers, uncovered in their book the fact that Laurent Fabius, the former prime minister, was responsible for the use of chemical weapons in Syria in August 2013, when Sistrom was on his way to Halab to investigate the use of chemical weapons in Khan al-Asal. And the use of chemical weapon in the Damascus area was meant to prevent Dr. Samst from going to Halab to investigate, because the prime minister at that time knew who had used chemical weapons in Khan al-Asal in Halab. He wanted to prevent Dr. Selstrom from reaching Halab by any means. And therefore, they used chemical weapons in Damascus with the involvement of the French intelligence and the former French prime minister. There are so many scandals that I could expose to you, but not to waste more of your time, I stop at this point. Thank you.
That was the permanent representative of Syria to the United Nations, Bashar al-Ja'afari, speaking in front of the UN Security Council Monday. And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.